Hey, this is Chris Bleck. Thanks for listening to the Bleck and Abdallah podcast, brought to you by Miller Lite, the presenting sponsor of the 2020 ESPN 1000 Virtual Fantasy Football Championship. Find out how to be a part of it at ESPNFFC.com.
It's Bleck and Abdallah. Follow us on the gram at Bleck and Abdallah and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
We have so much to get to here. Welcome in, Bleck and Abdallah on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. The Hawks are on to the first round of the NHL playoffs. They'll play the Golden Knights. We don't know when they're going to play.
Doesn't
maybe
matter.
Tuesday, maybe Wednesday.
There is a playoff team in the city of Chicago, Chris.
Yeah.
Chicago Celebrate. Has a playoff team.
Let's do it.
I mean, they're already a playoff team because technically, if you play something for
a qualifying series.
It's an elimination and the stats counted for playoff stats. So it was the playoffs. But now they're officially a playoff team.
Celebrate.
Yeah. Go nuts.
All right.
From a safe distance.
The White Sox and the Indians tonight on Sunday Night Baseball. You can hear the game here on ESPN 1000. So you can hear White Sox baseball right here on ESPN 1000 tonight. So there's a lot going on. The Cubs are not playing this weekend because of the Cardinals and the COVID-19 positive tests that they've had. I need to talk to you about some misinformation here in the sports world in just a second. But did you see the story that's kind of going viral everywhere? And it's like the most Hollywood story possible. Like, did you see this? Simon Cowell is in the hospital because he broke his back. But here's why I say it's the most Hollywood story possible.
Mm-hmm.
He broke his back riding an electric bicycle near his home in Malibu. Like, how many elements of, like, that's so California does that story have?
Yeah.
Riding a new electronic bicycle that's not even on the market yet, he crashed it, broke his back in Malibu.
Ugh. The only thing that would have been more Hollywood is if he was getting Botox while
getting
on
Botox,
the bike.
Yes, while taking while riding on the 10,
or just coming from getting Botox.
Yes, he took the 5 to the 10, and he avoided the 101 because there was traffic at the time.
Yeah,
and then he like hopefully he's okay.
I'm not making a joke
of the injury, but I just reading it was like he's testing an electric bicycle at his home in Malibu. Like there's nothing more Hollywood than that.
Because he's got a really smooth face.
Simon Cowell does?
Yeah, have you seen it? Look at that face.
Are you saying that's because of the Botox?
What else is it because of?
It's a California sun.
Sun would age you. Sun is bad for you. Don't you know this? That's why they make sunscreen.
I mean, yes, let's go to Al in Jefferson Park. I got to talk to you about this misinformation
smooth
in just a second.
Face.
What's up, Al? What's going on?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Al, what is going on?
Is it too loud?
No. Saying there's some screaming in the background or something.
I know, that's the baby. Sorry.
Oh.
What up, baby?
Hi, baby.
Yeah, she'll be fine. Let me just get through my notes and then I'll let you know this. All right, I want to give a shout out to the White Sox, Schaumburg, taxi squad. You know, if they're bored, go to Whitfield. Eloy, he can hardly play left. That's true. But Robert can definitely cover him. Robert just needs the guys to call him off every time. You know, he just needs to call us. Hello, every time. Sorry. You know, I just wanted to let you know Sox are 5-0 with Nick Madrigal.
Keep going,
Al. Power through. Keep going.
Fight through.
He needs to go. Okay, Sox are 5-0 with Nick Madrigal and 3 with Sam Lothal. Sox need to do 3 inning starters after Giolito in Dallas. They need to sign Yasiel Puig as a rental. Now you need those rental assassins, a la Chapman. Hot take alert. Rick Renteria is the S-man. Baseball needs Aussie coaching. And he had Cubs up. And that's all I got to say.
Al, please call us again next week and do the rushed parent White Sox report.
sorry.
That's awesome.
That's awesome. Right. Thanks for the call, Al. We
thank you, Al.
It.
White Sox! White Sox!
That's so
go,
good.
Go, White Sox! Let's go, 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 White
Sox. Stats. They need to go three star. They need to go to a bullpen session. They need to do this. They need... Aloy can't cover. Robert's fine.
That poor kid's hair was on fire, and he's getting his White Sox thoughts on sports radio.
I love
it. Hold on, kid.
I love it so much.
I got to get these takes off.
He's holding one of them off while they're, like, trying to air fight him. He's holding his face back.
Amazing. He has to get the thoughts off. He has to get all the takes out. I got to get these fire thoughts off.
Oh, that's so good.
The kid just wants to eat the Cheerios, but he's holding the bowl away from the kid.
White Sox.
I love it. I hope he calls back again. That was so funny. White Sox.
We really do get the best calls on Sunday morning. This is fantastic. Love it. I have to talk to you about something here.
Mm-hmm.
Football season's right around the corner. The fall right around the corner. You'll hear in the news the phrase misinformation quite a bit.
Mm.
Right? People putting out there things into the media,
mm-hmm.
on websites, on air, that are wrong, that then they have to be corrected, right?
Yeah.
You see this sometimes, right, with political ads. You'll see the ad give misinformation, and then someone else has to come back with their own ad to correct what was right, what was wrong, and this is really what's taking place.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to hear a lot of that this fall, misinformation. It's something we're going to hear. I was unaware that you and I were going to have to battle a misinformation propaganda campaign.
Uh-oh.
Against our names. Did you? Whoa. Were you aware of this?
Against us?
Yes, against Black and Abdallah.
Whoa, who's spreading this hate? Who's spreading these lies?
So here's the thing.
We got a small Twitter...
we got our peeps.
Yeah.
We appreciate it.
They're not an army. They're more of like
our crew.
A gathering of people from their basements.
A smattering of a few.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool.
Probably some high-quality gamers.
Yeah. Hey, that's at some point, that's going to be the currency.
Absolutely.
Of the world, so mm-hmm. I'd rather have them be on our side.
We're going to be dealing in Fortnite skins.
What? Oh,
is that what they're called?
Yes,
yeah,
they
that's
are,
what they're called, right?
Yes.
Tyler, is that what they're called?
Well done.
Okay,
yeah.
Thank you.
So here's something that just keep your eyes on as we head towards the fall.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel as if there is going to be a push, a misinformation campaign against you and me.
Well, you're not the 85 Bears.
No, we are not the 85 Bears. But it is Bears related.
Oh, no.
Because we know,
oh. mm-hmm.
heading into this fall, that there will be a quarterback competition.
Yes.
Between Nick Foles and Mitchell Trubisky.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we do know that the Bears traded for Nick Foles. This is a fact.
Yeah.
They gave up a draft pick to make the trade mm-hmm. for Nick Foles.
Mm-hmm.
They also handed him a new contract. Fact, right?
Fact.
Double fact.
Double fact.
Well, you do also know that Mitchell Trubisky, in 3 years starting as quarterback for the Chicago Bears, has won a lot of football games. Fact, right? The Bears have won a lot of football games. 2 years ago, going 12-4. Last year, going 8-8.
Mm-hmm.
Those are facts.
Facts.
Okay?
Facts.
Remember, there's going to be misinformation
the
out
kids
there.
Kids say facts.
One thing we do know, though, is Trubisky in 2018, 24 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. I would say that's pretty good. It's pretty good. He could do better, but pretty good, right?
Mm-hmm.
Last year, 17 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. Quarterback rating of 83.
Mm-hmm.
Those are facts.
Okay.
When it comes to Mitchell Trubisky, you and I talk in fact. And we see what we see on the football field, and we look at facts and stats, and mm-hmm. we back up what we see to then form an opinion on the football player that we see in front of us, one Mitchell Trubisky.
Yes.
Hoping for the best.
Yes.
But then seeing something else when we look at the numbers and when we look at the play on the field. We see a football team that doesn't score more than 17 points per game offensively, which is a fact, right?
Facts.
Fact. Okay. There is going to be a lot of misinformation this fall coming out.
Can I give you... You gave facts. I also... Unlike you saw this. I have notes for
yeah,
today.
Yeah, yeah.
And underneath the notes...
Fact-based notes?
I have this piece of paper. I keep that
a secret piece of paper.
As the kids say, yes. I keep that thing on me.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't know what kids are saying.
I keep that thing on me.
Okay.
Go ahead. Keep it ready, and I have you know that in 2018, Trubisky QBR third. Get it? Third. Third in QBR. That's all we heard.
That's a good
third
fact.
Third in QBR.
Yeah, fact, right?
TDs. Touchdowns. 13th.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Passing pretty yards. Good. 19th.
Pretty good.
Yards per pass thrown. 19th.
Yeah.
QB rating. 19th. Top 20. Top okay. 20.
All right. Top 20.
Now in 2019, that QBR, 28th. Touchdowns, 27th. Passing yards, 21st. Yards per pass gained, 32nd. QB rating, 28th. Just facts.
Those are numbers, stats, facts. Yes.
No false information. Right. No bibliography needed. No nothing. Okay. Facts.
Okay. So those are there, right? And that's something that we talk about.
Keep it on me.
We talk about this all the time,
buried,
right?
Buried
so again, in the fall, we will hear this a lot. And usually it's not related to sports, but you will hear misinformation.
Fake news.
Or misinformation campaigns, right? Like, there is always talk that there are outside powers using like Facebook mm-hmm. and other social media platforms mm-hmm. to put wrong information out so then people are confused with what's right.
And you're like, whoa, what's going on? Yeah. Do they really think that? Is this how they feel? Fake news.
So I want you, the great listeners of Black and Abdallah here on Sunday mornings, 8 to 10. I want you to keep your eye on the ball here because there will be misinformation placed out into the radio airwaves about us that is not correct.
Stay focused. Don't get it twisted.
And with that said, keep your eye on the ball because I heard twice in the last week this campaign, this propaganda campaign has already begun.
It's propaganda, man.
Here this week on Cap and Company, 9 to noon here on ESPN 1000, a Mitchell Trubisky soundbite followed up by David Kaplan. Listen close.
Just the type of coaches and people we have in our building, I believe it will be. So it's not really a big concern.
So Mitch is motivated by the doubters. He wants to prove the doubters, like Black and Abdallah, wrong.
Yo.
And many of you out there. And we'll see if he can do it.
Wow. At no point were we talking about this with Cap on the air.
What time was this?
He just sunk that in.
You produced the Cap and Company morning show.
It was at 11:09.
I wasn't even in the building yet.
So here it is. Clip one, the first time I heard it this week. Some misinformation. I'm not hating. I'm not doubting. I'm giving you stats. Unfortunately, your stats for your quarterback
facts.
Are not as what you wish
facts.
They would be. Here it is again. He sneaks it in. Listen, it's the misinformation, sleight of hand.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to how he sneaks it in there.
Just the type of coaches and people we have in our building, I believe it will be. So it's not really a big concern.
So Mitch is motivated by the doubters. He wants to prove the doubters, like Black and Abdallah, wrong. And many of you out there. And we'll see if he can do it.
Okay, so that's the first example. The second example, okay?
He's trying to form a Trojan horse, if you will, to sneak in.
Misinformation. And this is something you will hear throughout the fall. How about this? The second example. There is Bears news.
Beep, beep, beep,
Bears
beep,
news.
Beep, beep, beep,
we go back. Cap and Company. 9 to noon here on ESPN 1000.
Noticing a theme.
Here's David Kaplan.
So, Stacey Dales, my friend who works for NFL Network. She's awesome. Here's what she just tweeted. Bears OC Bill Lazor says quarterback Mitchell Trubisky is showing great recall, which is critical for a quarterback. When a play is in, it's in. Quarterback must have it in the huddle. Mitch has shown the ability to recall in all our walkthrough situations. Very, very positive. Take that, Dahlenbeck. 312-332-3776.
Did you hear how he slipped it in there? Did you see how this misinformation campaign has started to take place? He's slipping it in there. Just here you go again. This is news about the Bears, about Trubisky. It has nothing to do with us.
So, Stacey Dales, my friend who works for NFL Network, she's awesome. Here's what she just tweeted. Bears OC Bill Lazor says quarterback Mitchell Trubisky is showing great recall, which is critical for a quarterback. When a play is in, it's in. Quarterback must have it in the huddle. Mitch has shown the ability to recall in all our walkthrough situations. Very, very positive. Take that, Dahlenbeck. 312-332.
Nope. So just keep your eye on the ball here. There's going to be misinformation this fall, and we're going to watch this quarterback competition and see who the best quarterback is. Hopefully, the Bears win some football games. No, that's what I'm looking forward to.
Mark the tape. Like, as we say in the business here, as we say in the biz, mm-hmm. I don't know if they taught this at the Syracuse.
At the Syracuse University.
Mark this tape, Tyler. At 9, I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait, so it's right at 16. Got 4, 3,
okay, you don't have to
two,
do this. Yeah, just
one.
Say it.
I could not care less who the quarterback of the Bears is, as long as they play well and they win some damn football games. It can be Trubisky. It can be Foles. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. I just want to see a competitive football team win some damn football games because I'm sick of mediocrity. That's it. It can be Trubisky. He can win the Super Bowl. Amazing. That would be great for this city. It'd be great for every Bears fan. It'd be great for all of us. I don't care who it is. I have no rooting interest other than I want the Bears to be in the playoffs and to win a Super Bowl. That's it. Play that for cap. I don't care. There's nothing against Trubisky. Trubisky is a great guy. He's a very nice kid. And ultimately, if he wins the job, great. Win a damn Super Bowl. Make the playoffs. But if he's bad and Nick Foles wins out, don't come at us with the, oh, well, you didn't want him to. Look, so you guys didn't want you.
No,
look,
we're fine with him being quarterback. I don't care who the quarterback of the Bears is. Score some points. Score a point. How about, I mean.
That's the type of coaches and people we have in our building. I believe it will
There's
be,
a Trubisky
so
clip.
It's not really a big concern.
Talk about Trubisky.
So Mitch is motivated
by
the doubters. He wants to prove the doubters, like Black and Abdallah,
but
wrong.
Ridiculous.
And many of you out there. And we'll see if he can do it.
Keep your eye on the ball.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
This is Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
All right, so the backstory to what took place yesterday between the Trailblazers and the Clippers. Dame missing two free throws at the end. The Clippers go on to win the game. Pat Beverly on the bench pointing to his wrist. Dame time, waving goodbye. The wave goodbye is from last season. Remember in the NBA playoffs, Dame hit that game winner, and then he did the bye-bye to the Oklahoma City Thunder, which yeah. Paul George was on that team at the time. Mm-hmm. Paul George now with the Clippers. So yesterday, that was one of the better games in the league yesterday in the NBA bubble. Damian Lillard, 22 points, but the Clippers, they really were outstanding. You had six guys in double figures for the Clippers. Paul George, 21 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists. They get 17 for Reggie Jackson. Shamet had 19. A couple guys off the bench with double figures as well, but the Clippers win that game. But the story afterwards was the back and forth between Damian Lillard, Pat Beverly, and Paul George on social media, all going back to last year when Dame hit that shot to advance in the playoffs and then eliminating the Thunder.
Yeah, and then he misses the free throws yesterday. The Blazers are probably going to be out of the playoffs. I don't know if they've officially been.
No, the Blazers are the ninth seed at the moment. So right now, if this was it, if today was the final day of the regular season, there would be the playoff game between the Grizzlies and the Trailblazers.
Okay.
Because the Blazers have won. They've gone 3-2 in the NBA bubble, where Memphis has only won one game. They've lost four. And the Suns have won all five of their games to this point. The Suns are coming in hot. They're only a half game behind the Trailblazers. So the Trailblazers and the Suns in a tight race. The Spurs are also a half game back. So you have three teams there who could all kind of force this play-in game with the Grizzlies, who are not playing well at the moment.
No, and what's cool is, like, I don't know if these guys genuinely hate each other, but I would not want to mess with Patrick Beverley or Paul George or Damian Lillard at all. But, you know, that's what this bubble kind of, this chirpiness, this bubble, like, they're all together. They're obviously in separate hotels, but there's teams in certain hotels. These guys are hanging out with each other. These guys are seeing each other all the time. That's what is coming out of this. And things are going to start to get a little more chippy. Like, you've seen it in the NHL playoffs, where it's in any series, when you play the same team four times, it's going to get a little more feisty. And when you see these guys every day, and when you have to, hey, we just beat you and we were talking trash on the court, and now we're getting into elevators together, and now we're going to the same barber, and we're hanging out with that one DJ who's playing for us wherever that is, and we're going fishing, and we're playing ping pong and all that kind of stuff, right? And, like, that's the bubble. Like, yeah, it's an inconvenience for them, but it's added a lot of entertainment value because these guys are around each other all the time now.
Here's Damian Lillard after the game talking about Paul George and Patrick Beverley.
After I missed the first one, I heard them over there yelling. I just think that just shows what they expect from me down the stretch. You know, they know what I do. And he saw it firsthand when I was the second-year player when he was in Houston. So I'm sure he has a great memory of that, which is, you know, why that drew that type of reaction from him when he saw me come up short at the end of a game. So to me, that's all that says. Asking me about Patrick Beverley, who I sent him home before at the end of a game. Paul George just got sent home by me last year in the playoffs. So they know that the reason they're reacting like that is because of what they expect from me, which is a sign of respect. And it just shows what I've done at a high clip more times than not. So I'm not offended by it. If anything, it should just tell you how much it hurt them to go through what I put them through in those situations previously.
So that's Damian Lillard after the game, measured, thoughtful. I thought what Dame said was totally cool, right? Like,
yeah, oh yeah.
I have no problem with what Dame said. So Bleacher Report posts on Instagram the quote that you just heard at that last part, the I sent Beverly home and I sent Paul George home. Mm-hmm. They put on Instagram a picture of that quote and a photo of Dame waving goodbye, right?
Yeah.
So
not the whole quote, just that one part.
Just the part. I sent Beverly home before. Paul George just got sent home by me last year in the playoffs. That was the picture sent out by Bleacher Report. So then, on social media, right? So this is posted. Pat Beverly responds and writes Cancun on three with the crying emojis, right? Like, because Cancun is the joke where that's what you chant in the huddle when you know your team's going to be eliminated. Uh-huh. You're looking forward to the summer, right?
Yes.
Paul George then responds, are you getting sent home this year? Respect. So, like, he is commenting on the Bleacher Report post. And then Dame from way downtown Bang with this response. Paul George keeps switching teams, running from the grind. You boys is chumps. Now listen, for whatever you think about the back and forth, the reason why Dame will always have the trump card in all of this stuff,
because he never left.
He always has the ace up his sleeve because he really is dedicated to Portland.
Yeah.
He wants to be the guy that finally gets them over the hump. He wants to be the one that finally wins in Portland. Now, you could argue that that idea and the way that Portland's built the roster isn't really going to work out because right now they're the ninth seed fighting to even get into the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Although dangerous, they look totally different with the way they've looked over the last couple of games.
Yeah.
And Trent being able to shoot from three, and you have three guards who can all attack the whole thing. Like, it makes sense, but really, he can always come back at these other superstars who are pairing up on teams when you trash talk because he's the one that's staying put. Right? So, like, running from the grind, that's a diss towards Paul George. Like, yeah, he does. He went the team up with Kawhi. There's
of course.
Like Paul George, what can you say to that? You can't really say anything.
Well, I mean, you could eliminate them. You could win something this year and then, you know, respond back with a ring emoji.
But it goes back to the whole idea. NBA superstars teaming up. Like, there's a bit of the old school, I miss the NBA when Patrick Ewing was with the Knicks for the majority of his career, and the Jordan Bulls were running in the East and winning championships, and players stayed where they were.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people miss that. People love that. And the fact that Dame is staying in Portland, and then you start to get the back and forth with players and other teams, it's like, yeah, because you all team up. It's what, like, no one stays put anymore.
Yeah, and that kind of, you know, whether you want to like it or not, it's led to some great rivalries. Like, you've got the, you know, the Cavs and the Warriors. That's led to a great rivalry. LeBron against the Warriors led to a great rivalry. Like, if you want, there's pluses and minuses to all of it. Like, yeah, you're going to get a guy like Dame who wants to stay in Portland, but ultimately, Dame might go his entire career without winning anything because of his stubbornness and because he doesn't want to leave Portland. And is that Dame's fault or is that Portland's fault for not building around him and bringing in a superstar to pair up against, to pair up with him? Like, he's got stars around him, but he doesn't have that Paul George. He doesn't have Kawhi. He doesn't have the superstars. And it's been proven that if these guys are going to team up, you have to do something. You can't just go in and be like, it's just going to be me and I'm going to do this. Because guess what? You're going to be the 8th seed or 9th seed every, like, you're going to be fighting to get in, and then you're going to be the 8th seed and you're going to get bounced in the first round. You may make it to the second round if you're a higher seed, but then guess what? You're going to lose because teams have more stars than you do.
You always have to look and search for that second star. And yes, if you can't find it, you're always going to be in the spot where Portland's sitting on the outside looking in, hoping they can force this playing game against the Grizzlies. Chris Black, Am Abdallah with you here on ESPN 1000. The MAC canceled fall sports, so there will be no MAC football coming up in the fall. What does that mean for the Big Ten? We're talking about it next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
I'd like you to meet someone who's really special.
It's Black and Abdallah.
A real inspiration.
Follow us on the gram at Black and Abdallah and at ESPN underscore Chicago.
Yesterday in college athletics, the MAC, the Mid-American Conference, postponed their entire fall sports season, becoming the first FBS conference to make the drastic decision of canceling the season for football heading into the fall. So the question after we see the news yesterday is, will this cause other conferences around college football and around college athletics who say, no, sports are not taking place in the fall because we're not prepared. We're not ready to deal with all the testing that needs to go into this. And we're not prepared to have students on campus as we are starting to learn some campuses, even though they said all along that students would be returning, are now telling students don't come to campus for the fall. And what does this mean for college football now that the MAC is not playing?
Well, there was a meeting yesterday in the Big Ten, and the sources are saying, you know, according to these articles that I'm reading, that Big Ten Commissioner Kevin Warren prefers a spring football season for the Big Ten. It gives everybody more time. You see how, you know, kids coming back to campus and you kind of just go from there, right?
Yeah.
Now, the Big Ten has put out their schedule, and their schedule, while it has a lot of open dates, they're starting on time according to their schedule. Like, the SEC put out their schedule, it starts September 26th. The Big Ten is starting Labor Day weekend. Like, they want to start on time. Now, they've added in extra off days, so you can move that first 2 weeks of games to later in the season. I believe the opener is a Thursday night game between Illinois and Ohio State.
Yep.
And so, if you look at that, I don't think you can do... I think there's a way to do football in the fall. I think there's a way to, if you delay it and you move it to the end of September and you kind of see how everything is going and you know, get every, teams are practicing right now. Like, you'll hear like once a week, a team had to shut down for a few days, or like a team like Michigan State, I believe, who had to shut down for 2 weeks because of some positive tests.
Or players at Northwestern were quarantined and it was a false positive, so they're now out of quarantine.
Yeah, and like Illinois had tests and they had positive tests, but they just quarantined and just went on with their, with those students quarantined, and they just went on practicing. But for every one team that you hear that has positive tests, you hear a bunch of teams that don't have any positive tests. So there is a way to do this. I've been saying this from the beginning, that I feel like if there is a year to go regional and to go out of conference and just create like a regional group of teams, this would be the year to do it, just so there's some games, and then you can have a conference, you can still do the playoff, right? Like, you can still have the major New Year's Day games, and you can still have a college football playoff. You're not going to do all the bowl games, obviously, because the playoff committee has already said that they're going to move the release of their final vote, like, the end of December, and then those games are in, like, 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. So that's what they're going to do. I don't think you can do football in the spring for two reasons. You're going to have too many players that are opting out for the draft, because they're like, I'm not going to play football in the spring and then go into the NFL. Like, this is not going to happen. So a lot of your major players are going to opt out.
How many players around college football would opt out?
Do you think Trevor Lawrence is going to play?
No, let me. That's not what I'm asking. I'm asking how many players would opt out for the NFL compared to how many, if they played in the fall, would opt out just due to COVID-19?
Well, they've had...
See what I'm saying? Because, like, if you have Pac-12 players banding together and saying, we have this list of demands, if it's not met, we're not playing, and a whole bunch of players from all sorts of different teams in the Pac-12 or the Big Ten or the SEC don't play, which would give you less players opting out? Would it be because of the NFL draft, or would it be because of not the conferences not being prepared right now? You see what I'm saying? Like, is the player pool of players who are automatically going to be drafted bigger than the amount of players that would pull out of playing college football in the fall?
Yes, because I think that while you have these groups that are united, I think that they're going to get most of their demands met. Maybe not the financial ones. Like, you're not splitting revenue 50%. Like, that's just not going to happen. But the protocols for COVID-19, yeah, they can get that stuff done. They can get that stuff taken care of. And I think that they will. The other reason I don't think you can have spring football in the spring is a lot of these facilities, the medical staff will be way too taxed if you have all of these sports going on at the same time.
Assuming college basketball takes place in the spring.
Yeah, well, let's say it does.
Baseball's in the spring.
Let's say you have basketball, you have baseball, you have football, you have all the other sports. Schools' medical staffs, while they are big, yes, I get it. They have a lot of facilities. They have a lot of staff. You can't add the sport with the most players just into that framework, right? You can't just be like, hey, guess what, medical staff? We've got like 100 dudes on this team, and we're just going to be playing at the same time as all the normal sports that are playing. So we're going to do that. Because if you're moving all fall sports to the spring, you're not just moving football. You're moving all the other fall sports too.
Right.
And while there's not as many players on those teams, it's just too taxing on those medical staffs. So I think you either play in the fall or you don't play, and you play and you do it safely. And if teams, like we've seen with baseball, right? If certain teams get an outbreak or have an outbreak, like Rutgers they had players that had a party and it resulted in an outbreak. Guess what, Rutgers? You're not playing football this year. Like, if teams aren't going to be smart about it, and if teams aren't going to comply, and if teams have an outbreak, you do the same things baseball doing, and you just don't play. And if you can't reschedule the game, guess what? That game just doesn't get played.
Well, I think it goes for the conferences as well. Like, I could see a situation where one conference may not go ahead, but the other four Power Five conferences do. And it's kind of got like an old school back in the day vibe where you have like regional champions.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, what if the SEC plays, the Big Ten and the Big 12 do not, and the Pac-12 goes, you know, a month in, and then they say, okay, we can't get it done. Then you have the ACC and the SEC both crown champions, and it kind of feels like we're back in 1972, where if you live on the West Coast, you think that USC is the champion. If you live on the East Coast, you know that Alabama's the champion. Like, that's just what we have for a season. You know, like, it's got vibes of like old school college football where it based on the newspaper and not being able to see every team, you and your region may just crown a champion for that specific area. You know, you were asking about opening weekend for the Big Ten. Ohio State, Illinois is the first game, September 3.
Mm-hmm.
Thursday, September the 3rd.
Mm-hmm.
That's not far away.
3 weeks away,
less than
4 weeks away, yeah.
Indiana, Wisconsin is on Friday night. Saturday of Labor Day, the 5th, you have Minnesota at Michigan State, Maryland at Iowa, Nebraska at Rutgers. Probably the game of the entire weekend would be Northwestern at Penn State. Purdue at Michigan round out the list of games. Like, isn't that probably the best? What's the best game on the schedule for the Big Ten that weekend? It's probably Northwestern and Penn State.
Yeah. Well, my point is this, though, with going back to your conference thing, is why do you have to have the entire Big 12 shut down if a few schools can't play? What if Texas can play? Let them play. Like, Texas is, look, the South, teams in the South should be able to play each other, whether you're in the Big 12 or whether you're in the SEC. There's no reason why, like, Rutgers and Maryland, if they can't play because it's worse off in the East Coast than it is in the Midwest, why should the whole conference suffer because two teams can't play that are in a different region? Like, conferences have expanded so far that teams aren't even in the region anymore.
Well, I'm just guessing that the conference commissioners will want to keep their conferences together.
Do you want games or you don't want games?
I get your point, but I'm guessing
that
they would want that.
Does the Big Ten Network want any games or do they want no games? Because if you want any games, you might have to find teams to play if other teams can't play.
You might. You know, and that's why Adam Rittenberg from ESPN.com, he's one of the best. He was on Darty and Mel on ESPN Radio yesterday talking about the MAC canceling their football season.
No one really wanted to be the first team or the first league to opt out of the fall, and now we have both in a matter of days with UConn and now the MAC basically saying they're not playing this fall. So I would expect there to be more action in the next few days, especially if things don't improve and it becomes harder and harder to just attempt to pull off all that has to be pulled off for football. But as a group of five AD told me today, it's going to take a Power Five league ultimately.
So Adam Rittenberg continued with Dari and Mel. Could the Big Ten be next?
Watch the Big Ten. They're the league that's probably most likely to be very proactive in terms of not playing if they don't feel like they can. They like all these leagues, they formed a medical panel and they've had those discussions, and you also have a commissioner in Kevin Warren who's new. So I think there's a little bit maybe less pressure on him to forge on, than there could be for some of these longer term commissioners. So I would certainly watch the Big Ten because of the the types of schools that they are, the type of information that they have from a medical standpoint.
So that's Adam Rittenberg from ESPN.com. This is going to be a big week for college football. If you look at the calendar, like Abdallah was saying, Labor Day right around the corner, and that's when the Big Ten is planning on starting. These teams have been preparing like they were going to start the season, but the weeks ramping up to that opener is definitely a big deal. And if you don't know if you're going to play or there's testing questions or whatever is taking place in the Big Ten, can you actually get games on the field the first weekend of September?
Well, like Oklahoma sent their kids home because their season is delayed now a few weeks, so they're like, we're ahead of schedule. Go home for a couple weeks, spend some time with your family, come back.
And
that's the problem. Because
unless you have a bubble, this is not
exactly
going to work.
I still think it can work.
No.
Without a bubble.
No. Think about the way baseball is working.
Baseball, there's one game, there's one series that's been canceled this week.
But the players who are not taking it seriously immediately get affected. Now you have to assume that all college athletes are going to take this seriously.
Of course they're not.
Of course they're not. That's why it's not going to work.
It's too much money at stake for it not to.
I just want a new Chicago's College tailgate with you and Jonathan Hood. Can we just do that?
Just want some delicious Coors Light.
Labor Day, can we get the show? Can we talk college football that weekend?
We could certainly do a podcast.
Please.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
This is Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
Thanks to Tyler Aki for producing today's show. Download the Black and Abdallah podcast on the ESPN Chicago app. Find the Tile. Download the podcast. You can get it on Apple Podcasts, also on Spotify as well. Black and Abdallah, you can hear it right here on the ESPN Chicago app. Coming up next, Xander and Huebner. You'll hear them from 10 to noon right here on ESPN 1000. Also, later on tonight, Sunday Night Baseball, the White Sox and the Indians.
Yeah.
You'll hear the game right here on ESPN 1000. We'll talk White Sox in just a moment. right here on ESPN 1000. I wanted to mention this to you. Yesterday, the NBA announced the finalists for their awards at the end of the season, at the end of the regular season. Now, the awards, you're supposed to vote on what you saw before the shutdown back in early March. So this was the regular season, not including anything in the NBA bubble. They are not going to do an award show like we've seen the last couple of seasons.
Mm-hmm.
The NBA went away from just announcing it throughout the playoffs. They do a show at the end of the regular season, which I think is completely idiotic. I like to know who the MVP is in the conference finals, heading into the finals. Like, those are moments in league history that I think are cool.
Yeah.
Derrick Rose holding the trophy.
Absolutely.
At the United. Like, I like knowing that information and not finding out after the fact. So here are the finalists for MVP. Giannis Antetokounmpo from the Bucks, James Harden from the Rockets, LeBron James from the Lakers. If you had a vote, where would you vote?
Giannis.
I agree with you. I think back-to-back MVPs, he's been the best player in the league on the best team. He is the MVP. There are a lot of people pushing for LeBron, and I get it. In year 17, he's been great.
Yeah.
He has not been better than Giannis Antetokounmpo in this season.
I don't think he has. I think you could have made the case for LeBron maybe... I don't want to say if he didn't have Anthony Davis, because that's just not... I don't think that that's fair to discount that he's got other stars around him, and Giannis is the only, like, true superstar, like, superstar on his team. But I think that just the stats and everything, Giannis wins it.
Well, if I had a ballot, you can vote for five players for MVP. Okay. I would have voted number five, Luka Doncic, number four, James Harden, number three, Anthony Davis, number two, LeBron James, number one, Giannis. I think Anthony Davis, listen, his numbers don't look as great as LeBron's because LeBron has the assist numbers, but Anthony Davis has been incredible this season. Yeah. The Lakers, best team in the West. I think you could put both of them on the ballot. So if you look at the coach of the year, Mike Budenholzer from the Bucks, Billy Donovan from the Thunder, Nick Nurse from the Raptors, I'm voting for Nick Nurse.
I was going to, too, just because I think that what he's done with Toronto after Kawhi left and kept them as one of the better teams in the NBA this season. I think the other argument I could have made was for Billy Donovan of the Oklahoma Thunder and what he's been able to do with those guys. I don't know if Budenholzer is going to get it, but I would have voted for Nick Nurse.
It's surprising how great the Raptors have been without Kawhi Leonard. And then Rookie of the Year, Ja Morant from the Grizzlies, Kendrick Nunn from the Heat, Zion Williamson from the Pelicans. I would vote for Ja Morant.
I'd vote for Ja, too. I don't think... I would have liked to vote for Zion, but I just don't think he played enough.
He played like 17 games in the regular season.
Yeah, I know,
You can't win Rookie of the Year for 17 games.
Yeah.
Especially with now after the restart when clearly they're not going to make the playoffs. So it's kind of cool to see. And they're going... The NBA is going to release it throughout the playoffs. In the bubble, they will not do the award show this year. So it's something to look forward to as we kind of go through the NBA playoffs. Each week on the show, we talk a lot of Cubs baseball, and our friend out west, who's a diehard White Sox fan, his name is Brian O'Connor. On Twitter, he's @BroConnor. He gives us a White Sox report because we don't talk enough about the Southsiders. Here's his report today.
Let's go, 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 White Sox!
BroConnor's proud of you!
Thanks, guys. Well, the White Sox wrapped up a 6-game winning streak this week and are looking to take the series against the Indians on Sunday Night Baseball tonight. Of course, ESPN only remembered there was a second team in Chicago because the Cubs series got canceled. But, you know, don't worry about that because the Cubs are actually the most prepared team in all of baseball. They're so mentally ready for any games. They use these off days because, you know, Cap Riz just keeping it light. And oh, I don't know if you knew this, but it was actually Anthony Rizzo's birthday this week. I know it's lightly reported, but you know what I love about Rizzo? Remember last year when they were happy-go-lucky, so Riz had to be the, you know, like, law and order captain, and he's keeping it real, but now all of a sudden he's back to just being a fun guy, even when he's sitting out. He's out in the bleachers. Oh my gosh, there's Rizzo out in left field. Oh my gosh, and now Rizzo's behind first base. What a wacky captain. Hey, remember when he had the hand sanitizer at first base? Wow, what a guy. I'm sure Rossi loves him. You know, Rossi loves everybody. Rossi's not mad at anybody. You don't run out after a hit? No problem. Rossi loves you. And actually, we don't even have to play any more games anymore. You're in first place. Just wait until the playoffs, and then they'll just put you right in the World Series. Anyway, thanks for letting me talk about the White Sox.
A lot of Cubs angst there.
Let's go, 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 White Sox.
Bro Connor's proud of you.
No thoughts about Aloy.
No.
No thoughts about
nothing.
The big pitching
tumbling
matchup.
Over to, himself into the...
Big yeah. pitching matchup tonight.
Yeah. All right.
Nothing?
Well,
okay.
White Sox on Sunday Night Baseball, here on ESPN 1000.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.